Good evening. Good to see you. We have a good number present. We appreciate that, especially visitors that we have. We welcome you and thankful that you're among us as we get our Bibles. And in a moment, we will not only look at John, the fifth chapter, but other passages from God's Word as we seek to answer from the Bible the question on our title, why didn't Jesus heal everyone? Before we look at that, though, we want to especially give a word of encouragement, exhortation to you, if you're not a Christian, to ask yourself, do I want to be healed from my sins? We're going to be driving toward that point in this lesson. And if you want healing from your sins, there's only one person that can do that for you, and that's Jesus. In none other is there salvation, the Bible says. Neither is there any other name under heaven given among men wherein we must be saved. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Jesus and Jesus alone can save us from our sins. And He'll save you if you want to be saved from your sin tonight. The Bible is very clear how to become Christians. The Bible says, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. But Jesus also said that we must repent or we will perish. Likewise, He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And whoever confesses me before men, I'll confess before my Father. If you want to be saved, then we're going to completely do what Jesus says. And that begins, save from our past sins, by faith, repent of our sins, confess that He is the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of sins. And then to be faithful to Him as Christians, to be disciples of the Lord, to abide in His truth, bearing the fruit that it produces in our lives as we follow His Word and His will. As Christians, if there's sin standing between us and the Savior, if we've committed sin, then as we prayed tonight, let us repent of that. Let us come to our Lord in humble repentance, and He will mercifully and completely forgive. And we stand ready to pray together about such matters, if that's your need as well, as a child of God. We want to get to the question. It's a question that I think probably goes through a lot of people's minds. It's a question I was asked from time to time. Years ago, I was asked, particularly in an email, and the person said, well, in the Gospels, Jesus performs many miracles, and He heals a lot of people. But he said, my question is, why didn't Jesus heal everyone? Well, and it brought to mind John 5. Because you see, in John 5, there's evidently a lot of people there that Jesus didn't heal. Because there's a lot of them around the pool of Bethesda that a great multitude, verse 3 says, of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. But we only have record of Jesus healing one man, and then Jesus withdrew into the multitude, and next we find Him not at the pool, but at the temple. So why didn't He heal everybody? Well, now, that kind of a question makes some assumptions because, of course, the question seems to indicate, well, if He didn't heal everybody, then something must have been wrong. See, there's an assumption, first of all, that Jesus should have healed everyone. But then again, there's the assumption, well, is it that some came to Jesus for healing who went away unhealed? Of course, we never read about that happening. But then there's the assumption, well, Jesus should have healed people who never came to Him for healing. If we're going to say, why didn't Jesus heal everybody? Then that assumes that He should have healed everyone. And there's some problem with Him not doing so. And as we know, so just why didn't He? Or why should He have or should He have in the first place? There's something we need to remember in all of this. Jesus said, I always do those things that please my Father. So whatever Jesus did concerning healing, it pleased the Father. It was the Father's will. Okay? Now we've talked and studied recently about the purpose of miracles, the supernatural intervention into the natural world, and that they've ended now. We don't have that today. Bible miracles are not happening today. Bible miracles have particular purposes, and we'll see some of those, particularly concerning Jesus. But anyone who says miracles are happening today, they're not Bible miracles. Things aren't happening today like that. And if you want to study more about that particular point, be glad to do it. We'll have a thing or two to say about that. But fundamentally, our lesson tonight is not about showing that the end of those miraculous events, but particularly focusing in on this idea. Why is it Jesus didn't heal everyone? Clearly, He healed some. Why not everyone? Well, now, here's some questions that come to mind when somebody starts thinking that way. Didn't Jesus care about those who were unhealed? Maybe He just didn't care about the people He didn't heal. You see how it begins to cause doubt when you start asking a question that way? Why didn't He heal everybody? Well, did He love some people more than He loved others? So He healed some that He loved more than the ones He didn't heal? See how the devil can start to play with your mind? Well, was Jesus not able to heal everybody? Maybe He just didn't heal everybody because He couldn't. So Satan injects some doubt. Or did somebody keep Jesus from healing everyone? Or maybe He just healed people who believed in Him. Well, John 5, we see that's not the case because He healed a man here who didn't know who He was, much less have faith in Him, but He was healed. All kinds of speculative questions begin to happen unless we're willing to let the Bible explain itself to us about the miracles Jesus did and the ones He didn't do. So let's ask this question, why didn't Jesus heal everyone? And the first thing we want to note is it was not because He lacked the power to do it. It's not because He could not do it. Luke 5 and verse 17. Now remember, if we're going to accept the truth that's been revealed, we studied it this morning, that Jesus is God with us, right? That He is God in the flesh, then necessarily He had the power. So why didn't He heal everyone? Well, not because He couldn't do that. Luke 5 and 17 notes, for example, it happened on a certain day as He was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal, or to heal them based on your version. So there was power with Jesus to heal. God was with Him. God attested that Jesus was His Son by the miracles that He did. Acts 2 and verse 22. Or in Acts 10 and verse 38, Peter said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. That is, the presence of the Holy Spirit identified God's approval of Jesus. There's a recognition of approval, and there was power, divine power with Jesus. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. John 5 and verse 19, Jesus in this same context. Now remember, when Jesus healed this man at the pool there, the Jews began to accuse. They said, oh, it's a Sabbath day. You're not supposed to carry your bed. That's violating the law. Of course, it was not. It was violating their tradition about the law. But you go on down that context, and they're ready to kill Jesus, these Jews who persecuted Him because He healed on the Sabbath and told this man to take up his bed and go home and walk. Verse 19, look at the point. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. So Jesus worked in complete harmony in unity with the Father. Now, here's the point I'm driving at. If Jesus lacked the power to heal anyone or everyone, then God lacks that same power. God the Father. Does God the Father lack power to heal? Well, did Jesus lack power? No, power was with Jesus to heal. It wasn't that He didn't have the power. He had all authority in heaven and on earth. That's not the answer. Well, someone said, well, maybe it's because He just didn't have the will to do it. Maybe because He just wouldn't do it. He lacked the will to do it. Is that true? Well, no, in Scripture, Matthew 14 and 14 says, Jesus had a heart of love and of mercy and of compassion demonstrated by the healing that He did. It says, Jesus went out and saw a great multitude and He was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. So, Jesus had the will to heal and He exercised that will in showing the mercy and compassion of God toward those who were lame, those who were infirmed, those who were sick. More than that, He then taught His disciples to have the same heart. We're to have the same heart of mercy and love and compassion toward those who are sick. Galatians 6:10 says that we're to do good unto all men, especially the household of the faith. Christians are to show sympathy toward, care and concern for those who are hurt and injured and ill. The Good Samaritan demonstrates that. Being a neighbor demands it. Jesus lived that mercy and that compassion. In 1 John 3 and verse 18, we learn as disciples that we're to do much more than just say. We're to do when it comes to this matter of care for those who are sick. My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and truth. Since we see a brother in need there in this particular context, and we shut our heart up, he says, from that person, how's the love of God abiding in him? We're to do more than just say, we're to act in deed and in truth. And when it comes to loving our neighbor as ourself, Jesus set the mark. He set the standard. The fact that He didn't heal everyone didn't mean that He was in some way being uncaring, lacking compassion or pity or mercy. Time and time again, He demonstrated that's exactly what He had. But in fact, the truth of the matter is, His miracles, His healing miracles, prove His power to heal and His heart to heal. So He had the power, He had the will, and yet Jesus didn't heal everyone. Why is that? Why didn't He heal everyone? Simply put, it's because universal healing of the flesh was not the work the Father gave Him to do. The Father didn't send Jesus to the earth to heal every person who was sick. Every person who was blind. Every person who couldn't hear. That does not negate His power, nor does it negate His will, His compassion. John 5 and verse 30, in that same context of what happened after He healed that man. Subsequent to it, He said, I cannot myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I don't seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Once more, it is the will of the Father driving Jesus. The will of the Father was not that Jesus universally heal everyone in the flesh. If it was, Jesus failed. He did not fail, did He? John 6 and verse 38, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. So we've got to dig a little deeper about answering this question. And fundamentally, we've got to accept the point that Jesus didn't come to heal every disease. Every person of every disease, every person of every physical ailment. But in fact, the miracles that He did work, and He worked many, many, many miracles, many more than are recorded, they served as signs of a greater work. And that's what we need to recognize and think about, ponder, and see how that's going to affect us. In John 3 and verse 2, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and he said, Rabbi, we know You're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him. So the miracles Jesus was working were signs, indicators that God was with him. But more than that, of course, that He was the very Son of God. In John 5 and 20 then, you see, Jesus said, the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. He's just healed a man who's been lame for 38 years. And Jesus now says, the Father's going to show the Son greater works than these. There were greater works to be done. The greater works are going to be the works of the gospel upon the hearts and souls of sinners to redeem sinners from the death of sin and bring eternal life. We see that in verse 22, God's judgments. Verse 24, everlasting life. Verses 28 and 29, resurrection unto life. The miracles were astounding, but they were all signs that there's a greater work, a more enduring work, because those people who were healed in the flesh eventually died in the flesh. They lived and they died, even though Jesus healed them. Eventually they died. But there's a greater work. You see, these were signs of some greater purpose than the flesh. Now, what was that? Well, let's go through it. You know some of the answers already, don't you? These signs show that He's the Christ, the Son of God. John 5:36. I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. That's what Peter preached in Acts 2:22 on Pentecost. They attest that Jesus is the Lord in Christ, that He is the Son of God. They were signs. You know, the miracles of Jesus bring people to faith in Jesus as God's Son. They testify of who He is, and they are sufficient to bring a person to believe that, to be convicted of that truth. In John 10:37-8, Jesus said, "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do..." And what were the works of the Father He did? Well, the blind see, the lame walk. The poor have the glad tidings preached to them. We had that on the chart at the beginning. Right? Matthew 11:4-5. He said, "If I do the works of my Father, though you don't believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in Him." He had just said in verse 30, "I and the Father are one." And they called Him a blasphemer. And again, they try to seize Him to kill Him because they didn't believe His words, even though the works showed that He's the Son of God. And they should have believed Him because of those works. They were signs that He was who He said He was. The healing miracles of Jesus reveal His glory and they glorify God. John 2:11, it wasn't a healing miracle, but it was the beginning of His miracles. And it says, as He turned the water into the wine there in John 2, the beginning of His signs of Jesus He did in Cana of Galilee and manifested His glory. And His disciples believed in Him. The miracles showed His glory. We talked about the transfiguration this morning in Bible class, where there's the brilliance of the divine glory. But in the miracles themselves, we see the majesty and power of the Son of God. And so again in Matthew 15:30-31, as He was healing, here's a specific application or reference to the healings. Matthew 15:30 says, "Great multitudes came to Him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, the maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them." We're never told at any time that anyone that was brought to Jesus for healing went away unhealed. He healed those that were brought to Him. Without exception. No exception given. So the multitudes marveled when they saw the mute speak, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. So the miracles of Jesus honored Him, but in doing so they honored the God of Israel. They honored Yahweh, Jehovah God. And so His signs accomplished that very purpose. And of course, in His miracles, He proves His power over sin and over Satan. Let's look at a couple of verses and we'll come back to to at least one of them later. But in Mark 2, remember about the paralytic let through the roof because everybody's so crowded around Jesus they couldn't get to Him. And his friends lower him, and Jesus saw their faith, and he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees sitting nearby and the scribes sitting by, they're thinking within themselves, "Well, who does this man think he is? Who can forgive sins but only God?" Jesus knew their thoughts, and so he says, What's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and walk? Which would be easier? So he said, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Now we're getting to it. "So that you can know that the Son of Man has the power." He has the ability to forgive sin. He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And the verse says, "Immediately he arose and took up the bed and went in the presence of them all. And they were amazed and glorified God." There it is again, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." Jesus shows in His healing miracles that He has power over the illness of the soul, not only the illnesses of the flesh. Matthew 8 and verse 16, it speaks to the casting out of the evil spirits. There it says, "When evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick." So, there's a verse that says He healed all the sick. All who were brought to Him. Right? Again, look in chapters 12, 27, 28. Jesus makes the point that by the power and Spirit of God, He is casting out demons. The kingdom has come near as a result of that. And he says he's plundering Satan's power by binding the strong man. He shows his power over Satan in casting out demons. He shows his power over the flesh by healing fleshly disease. He shows his power over sin by healing the soul, forgiving sins of sinners. Now, in all of that, Christ is showing God's compassion. He's showing God's compassion, His care, His tender mercy toward those who ail in the flesh and those who ail in the spirit. Mark 5 and verse 19, the man who had the legion, there were many demons possessing him, and Jesus cast them all out into the herd of swine, remember? The man wanted to continue with Jesus, and he would not permit it. He said, "No, you go home and to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you." The compassion of God drove the healings, drove the casting out of the demons, demonstrating His glory and the glory of God and His power to overcome the things of the flesh and to overcome the things of the Spirit. And so you see, Christ's healing miracles were entirely sufficient to fulfill these divine purposes. He did exactly what the Father sent Him to do. John 17, 4, He acknowledges as much in His prayer to the Father. "I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work which You've given Me to do." In John 20, 30 and 31, John is able to say, "Many other signs did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." So His miracles were completely and entirely sufficient to accomplish every purpose the Father gave Him to accomplish with them. To show the signs that God approved of Him, that He's the Son of God, that He saves and has the power to save the soul from death, from sin and death. Now, here's the lesson for us to take home tonight. Jesus came to heal souls far more than He came to heal bodies. He came to heal the souls of all who will believe, of all who will come to Him. Just as He healed all in the flesh who came to Him for healing, He will heal every single soul who comes to Him for forgiveness. But it will be on His terms, not on ours. All right, and look back in Matthew 8, 16 and 17. This is an interesting point that Matthew makes here in quoting Isaiah 53 in verse 4. We just read verse 16. He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Was that the end of the matter? Well, He healed our bodies. He cast out spirits. That was an application. That was a fulfillment. But that wasn't the end of the matter. No, there was more to it. See, He bore our sins in His body on the tree. First Peter will go on to say and explain. He said, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. Who committed no sin, neither was deceit or found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He didn't revile in return. He suffered. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. Now look at 1 Peter 2:24. Who Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Again, that's taken from Isaiah 53 and verse 5. A passage that Matthew applies to the healing of the sick and casting out of demons, the infirmities, that's now applied by Peter, by the Holy Spirit, through Peter, to sin. So the healing of the body, again, as we mentioned before, is simply showing Jesus had power to heal the soul. That His primary purpose was coming to heal our souls. That's the lesson we need to take about Jesus working miracles. His miracles persuade us and assure us He can save us from our sins. Luke 4 and verse 18, when Jesus quoted Isaiah 61 in the synagogue, as He read that passage on that occasion, and He said, Today is this Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. It says in verse 18, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Does that mean He came to heal everybody with a heart condition? You know, you got clogged arteries. Jesus came to heal that. That's not what He's talking about, is it? We know that's not. Look, He's anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news, to the poor. Poor in spirit. Poor in heart. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Right? He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. That's spiritual release from sin. Recovery of sight to the blind. He's not talking now about the blind in the flesh, the blind in heart, blind because of sin. He came to give us sight, the light of the world, to set at liberty those who are oppressed by sin and the devil, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You see, God sent Jesus to heal our souls. And isn't it a shame? So many people come to Jesus to heal their bodies, but they don't go to Jesus for the healing of their souls. When they get sick, they pray, God, help me get well. Help me get better. Help me have health. And all the while, they reject His word of salvation in His Son. Think about it. What's more important, the healing of the body or the healing of the soul? Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. Yes, He'll hear our prayers, and by His will, perhaps we get better. And He'll bless us with health. But sometimes the answer is no. And that's okay. And we'll see that in God's Word if we trust Him, whether our health improves or not. But all we want Him to heal our bodies. We want our body. We've got to have our health. But what about the health of our soul? What about that? Jesus, you say, let's go to John 12. I can rant and rave. That doesn't make it true or false. Right? Just so you know, I can raise my voice. You know, weak point, pound the pulpit. Right? It's not a weak point. It's a strong point. It's the essence of the gospel. Jesus came to heal the soul. What are you more important? What's more important to you right now? Your physical health or your spiritual health? Which one? Which one? We show by how we live what's most important to us, by the choices we make. Look in John 12. See it here. And see if we can't learn from this for ourselves. Although He had done so many signs among them, He healed so many people, He cast out so many demons, raised the dead, yet they did not believe in Him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which He spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? I've revealed Your power. I've preached Your gospel. I've given signs to demonstrate this is truth. I'm Your Son. I'm the Messiah. And yet they won't believe. Therefore, they could not believe, John writes, because Isaiah said again. Here's the problem. Isaiah said again, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn, so that I should heal them. The healing is of the soul, not of the body. These things Isaiah spoke when he saw His glory and spoke of Him. Isaiah saw the glory of the Son. Isaiah 6. High and lifted up. And they saw His glory through the signs. And they didn't believe. Their hearts were hardened. Their eyes were closed. They were more concerned about the flesh than the spirit. Make sure everything's good on the outside, on the flesh, on the material. Got to have all that right. And all the while, full of dead men's bones on the inside. You see, we're asking the wrong question when we ask, why didn't Jesus heal everyone? The real question is, why haven't I come to Jesus to be healed from my sins? What's keeping me from doing that? Because you see, He's already shown He has the power. He can do that. Jesus did everything that you may be saved. John 5 and verse 34 says. Look at that verse. Jesus said, and again, that's John 5 context, a little bit farther, but it says, yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. What? So you won't get a sniffle? So you won't have a broken arm? So you won't have a banged up back or shoulder or something else? No, so that you'll be saved from sin. What does it matter if we gain the whole world? I live to be 150 and I lose my soul. Jesus has the power and He has the will to save you tonight. The question is, do you allow His miracles to convince you you need His healing power of sin in your life? That He can, you can come to Him. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He gave a lot of physical rest to people who came for healing, and yet they wouldn't believe He was the Son of God. Will you come to Him if you believe He's the Son of God tonight and be saved? Why not? And if you will, don't put it off. Do it now. Because see, Jesus warned that man that He healed who was lame for 38 years. He warned him of a greater problem. He only thought he had problems when he couldn't walk and get to the pool. He only thought he had problems for 38 years when he was lame. Now listen to Jesus. Because when the man found Jesus there in Luke 5, back up there to verses 13 and 14, the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn into the multitude. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple, and He said to him, see, you have been made well. What a blessing. Couldn't walk, but now he's able to. What a blessing. A miracle. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. You see, the greater problem was sin, not that he couldn't walk. But the world says the greater problem is he can't walk. Because in perverting the gospel, they say, well, God loves everybody. That surely that person will go to heaven. I mean, God loves you. How? Why wouldn't He take you to heaven? And if He doesn't, that means somehow God doesn't love you. No more than it means Jesus didn't love those that He didn't heal. God's purposes are going to be fulfilled. And His Word's going to be true. Jesus will save everyone who comes to Him. But you're going to have to come on His terms, not yours. Not mine, what the Scripture says. A faith that believes, confesses, repents of sin, and is baptized into Christ has the assurance of forgiveness of sin. There's the healing by His blood. And then to walk in newness of life, to go and sin no more. That is, to be led by truth, by Jesus. And when we do sin, we don't practice it, we repent. 1 John 1:9-2:1. Jesus heals souls from sin. But here's another important point before we close. We trust His grace through the trials of the flesh. Because we know that the body is going to wear out and die. And there's a lot of different ways it can wear out. Illness, disease, accidents, age. We eventually die. We're going to return to dust. Have we grappled with that? Have we really grappled with that? Because you see, when you really grapple with the reality of mortality, that you will die, then you're in a place where you can begin to grapple with, how am I going to get ready for death? And when you really grapple with, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, then you begin to grapple with the necessity and urgency of obeying God now. Now, if you don't want to, you're going to harden your heart and say, I've got plenty of time. That's foolish. But God will let you be a fool. But there'll be a day of reckoning. Remember the fool in Luke 12? Tonight your soul is required of you. Our souls will be required of us. But I want to bring us to 2 Corinthians 12. Sorry, I took down a rabbit trail. But I don't think it's far off what we're talking about. Because you see, again, Paul had been greatly blessed with many revelations. Many revelations. And he said, lest I should be exalted above measure because of the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. And concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. He had an ailment. Seems like it might have been poor eyesight. It could be something else. He had a problem in the flesh. And he pleaded with God to heal him. And the Lord said, my grace is enough for you. It's sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. See, there's the key. We want strength in the body so we have strength. No, God's strength is perfected in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, Paul said, I will rather boast in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. That is, there's the ability to rejoice even in the trial, even in the pain. And that's not easy. That's a test of our faith. But he says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. But that requires that we let go of ourselves and we seize the presence and power and grace of God in Christ Jesus. And we live by faith to Him. You see, Jesus loved Paul. Jesus had the ability, He had the power to heal him, but Paul needed a greater lesson. He needed the lesson of humble dependency upon Christ so that Satan would not tempt him and drag him into error, sin and error by pride, lifting him up because of the great revelations he'd received. He says, I'll glory in the weakness so that the power of Christ will be with me. We need that lesson. Oh, how we need that lesson. 10 lepers were healed by Jesus in Luke 17:11-19. Save us, heal us. They pleaded for mercy in that passage. Luke 17:11. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so he said, go show yourself to the priests. And it was that as they went, they were cleansed. But only one took time to go back to Jesus and fall on his face and give him thanks for the healing. And it was a foreigner, a Samaritan. Jesus said, we're not 10 healed, we're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not found any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. This man's faith had reached to the health of his soul. Jesus showed a sign and healed them all, but it was the faith to turn back and to give praise to Jesus and to fall before Him and to serve Him that is commended. Brethren, it may be that our soul was saved, healed from sin long, long ago. We became Christian years and years ago. Have we turned and fallen at the feet of Jesus? Or have we been deterred? Have we been taken some away to other things? You see, we need to come back and be sure we're at the feet of Jesus. Jesus healed all who came to Him for healing, showing His power to heal the soul of sin. We read that already, Mark 2:9-11. The man whom Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, told him to get up and walk, and that showed Christ's power to save souls. And so as we close, let's just ponder and realize, you know, Jesus saves every sinner who come to Him, just as He healed everyone who was brought to Him as a sign of who He is and what His power is and why He was there to save souls. Of a truth I perceive, Peter said, that God is no respecter of persons. You may be Jew, you may be Gentile, you may be white, you may be black, you may be from Asia, you may be from South America. It doesn't matter who you are. Every nation, he said, of a truth I perceive, God's no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he who fears God and works righteousness is acceptable to Him. He will save you if you'll come to Him. The time is now. There is no guarantee for tomorrow. The day of salvation is right now. He'll save you. He'll heal you from sin if you'll let Him work His power of salvation through your faith and obedience to His gospel. While we stand and sing, won't you come?